Yeah, let's look at the next section of verses. Brother Bill, if you would read those.
First Corinthians 3:16 and 17. First Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Verses 23-25. 1 Corinthians 14, 23-25. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down at his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And then 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then to Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 19-22. Ephesians 2, 19-22. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit.
I think in these verses, God makes it abundantly clear that there are to be no schisms amongst his own. And the temple that he has begun in Christ is to be builded upon Christ and none other. And it's a building that God has begun, because he has begun the work and is to the glory of his praise. It's not for the glory of man, nor is it for anything of the flesh. The church is for God and ought to lend itself to the truth of God's word, to worship of the one true God, and to the praise of the Lord Jesus. And that praise redounds to God the Father. And is not to be used as an occasion of the flesh in any way, shape, or form. And so we're cautioned even in the getting together as brethren to be like-minded in the things of Christ, and not to be yoked with unbelievers, or that mindset of falsehood, or the mindset of that which appeals to the flesh, for it so quickly spoils and ruins that which the Holy Spirit would have us to see in Christ. Because man always, the devil always promotes the flesh in man. And so there's to be there's supposed to be care taken when the saints come together. Remember the Corinthians, as a testimony, they had their love feasts. And while they might have had the inspiration out of a rejoicing heart, they weren't careful in their coming together as a testimony, and therefore perverted some of the things that were set before them by the apostles and had to be reprimanded. And there were certain disorders in amongst the saints that had to be addressed, because God's house is a holy house. And so we have these exhortations. But nonetheless, when the saints come together for praise, when they come together to dwell on the Lord Jesus, what a time of glory, what a time of excellence, what a time of strengthening of the inner man we get in these times when things are done right.
There is a careful consideration for the three portions we read, that there was a certain truth that the apostle wanted to take hold of it. We'll come to the next two as we go on. But you touched on it, Brother Mike, is that in that sense over here, the temple does not only reflect the mind of God, but also takes character from the very nature of God. It was a very important thing for the apostle to remind them of the truth of the temple, because he's leading them to the defilement that we see in chapter 5. And the corruption that we see throughout almost the first epistle. So what do I impress upon the saints of God when there is an immoral act, or when there is corruption amongst the saints of God? The thing that I have to impress upon them, the holiness of God. And that's something that we are neglecting much. We are living in 2014 where the message of Christendom as a whole is always the love of God and the kindness of God, and how could we exhaust such a subject? But we have to bring it both together. If God is love, God is light. God is holy. Be you holy, we heard earlier. For I am holy. So when there is a presence of bad conditions, it is important to bring the thought of the temple that should have the character and the nature of God in it. And that's holiness, brethren. Let's bring the message of holiness, because we need it in these last and closing. We're losing the sense and the truth of it in the way we live. And that's why it says in Psalm 92, holiness becometh thy house. It's nice. Why is it thy house? Because the house, as far as the Old Testament, was the temple. So that truth is reflected unto us. That's what we need to see in our local testimonies. We don't want to lose sight of the message of God's love. But at the same time, we don't want to display everything that relates to the love of God on the expense of His holiness. They both go together. And they need to be maintained such a way in our local testimonies.